Hey everybody, it's Jen. Just so you know, at the end of the show, you're going to hear a bunch of talking about the Patreon changing and what the name should be and why we might change it and blah, blah, blah. All you need to know is you can basically ignore all of that. It is now patreon.com/strangeful. So you don't have to listen to that part of Acadia going on and on. It's patreon.com/strangeful. If you want to give us money there, that would be awesome. Thanks.
On December the 15th, 1967, the bridge fell in less than 1 minute, with the loss of 46 lives. A 20-year-old eyewitness at the time was Charlene Wood.
I was actually on the bridge when it fell that night. I was going home from work, and a trembling of the bridge and a noise that I couldn't even describe what the noise was like. But I realized that maybe something had hit the bridge, and I decided I wasn't going to cross it. So I threw the car in reverse, and as I was backing, the car stalled on me, but it kept going. And when I was able to get it stopped, the bridge had failed in front of me, and my wheels was on the ledge here.
I'm Jen Martinelli, and this is Strangeful Things.
Ready. Go.
Will you come back to me?
That's a mess. What are these?
Strange bullshit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Strangeful Things. This week, we are not talking about murder.
Ha!
We are talking about Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And our story, starts in 1966. Does anybody know what it's about yet from the clip I played?
I do, but also I know that your name is Jen Martinelli, and this is Strangeful Things, and I'm Acadia, and that's Christy.
Hey! Hey!
It's Mothman!
Yeah!
Nice!
Yeah. So, I've got another little clip I'm going to play now, and then we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. So, here's the next one.
Now, improvised search parties are attempting to find it. Just what it is, no one is sure.
And then when it came up over the trees, I could see it was a bird, a huge bird.
We couldn't believe what we really saw. This thing was standing there, but it had a body just like a man. You could see muscles in its legs. We sit there for a minute and looked at each other, and then we took off.
So, yes, we are talking about Mothman.
And we're also going to talk about that whore that spends all her time examining the muscles of men's legs.
You're terrible.
What the hell is she? What is she, timekeeper at a fucking track meet? What? She's like, oh, had the same muscles as a man's leg. York.
Ridiculous. Only you.
I know.
You know what? Right? No, because I'm turning over a new leaf. Now I'm going to, I have to stop being so appealing.
That's right.
It's jamming me up.
Be less appealing, please. Less appealing. Yep.
That's it.
So, the idea for this show came from our official friend of the show, James Olchek, who suggested this as a topic when we were discussing how we needed some non-murder topics.
We have had a lot of murder lately.
It's been a lot in a row. Murder.
Because that's
murder.
The highest level of danger.
Well, I guess so.
Like, no one's gonna go, oh, and then later he found out that his notebook had been ripped. Like,
no, but it's strangeful things, so we need
That's
to find
right. It has to be
other strange things besides freaky murder.
Correct. So, what do you guys know about this story just off the top of your heads, if you want to say anything that you know about it?
Well, from my standpoint, I am aware that apparently the Mothman is a big, tall fella that has a moth top, but a person at the bottom, and glowy eyes, who shows up and is the harbinger of civic accidents, such as bridge collapses and Richard Gere movies.
So yes, there was a movie made in 2002 about this, which I actually watched, and I think it did creep me out a fair amount, even though it's not like a great movie.
But yeah, it was, like, same.
It was creepy. It was creepy.
Yeah.
Something Acadia said reminded me of something, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, when I was talking about this with James, he was like, he described Mothman as a harbinger of bad events, but a terrible communicator. Because apparently all he does is just hang around being scary, and then something bad happens. So
in a vague manner.
Right. Not real effective.
Nothing helpful.
Right. Nothing helpful at all.
Like holding a sign in front of a crowd that says, "One of you should look out."
Right.
Maybe like a "don't use the bridge," or
he's totally a disaster voyeur.
He is a disaster voyeur. That's a good description, actually. So,
why is he a Mothman, though? Does he fly?
Oh, well, we're going to get to that. We're about to get to that, actually.
Could we catch him with a giant porch light?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. No, but
look at him now. He's just banging against it. Oh,
gosh. So
first, I have just a little summary of, like, kind of what happened when the sightings first started, and then I'll answer that question and tell you some more stuff.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
It's been almost 50 years since the first sighting of the so-called Mothman. But what was it? Just an urban legend, or is there really some truth in the bizarre encounters with this bird-like creature? The first recorded sighting of it was on November the 12th, 1966, when five grave diggers working near Point Pleasant, West Virginia, a small town with a very tight-knit community, claimed to have seen a man-like figure with huge bat wings fly down from nearby trees, straight over their heads. Then, just a few days later, on November the 15th, Roger Scarberry, his wife, and three other people ran terrified into the Mason County Courthouse and reported that they had witnessed a 7-foot creature with glowing red eyes and huge wings. At first they thought the red eyes were car lights, but when they realized it was in fact a creature, they sped off very quickly, with everyone in the car later reporting that the creature followed them closely but flew off into the night sky as they approached the courthouse. Deputy Millard Halstead, who had been on duty the night of the incident, said he was convinced the people were not lying. Everyone knew everyone in the community, and he knew the people had never been in any trouble before. All five of them gave exactly the same account of what they had seen, even though they were interviewed in separate rooms, and the deputy said the terror in their eyes was very real, and that he was convinced they were not lying and did see something that followed them. The incident was taken so seriously that the deputy went with Scarberry back to the site near the McClinton Wildlife Management area where the creature had first been spotted, and although nothing was found, it wasn't long before this sighting and the gravedigger's sighting got around and frightened the locals. In fear that this creature was roaming nearby, the townspeople took up arms and started combing the area to try and track down and kill it, but their efforts were futile and nothing was found.
So, to answer your question about where the name Mothman came from, it was apparently the work of some unknown copy editor at a local newspaper. Because at the time, in the 60s, Batman was on TV. They didn't want to call it Batman, but it did have wings, so some copy editor at a paper called it Mothman.
Literally thinking, like, they can't call it Batman.
Right.
And they couldn't call it Man-Bat either, because that was a thing in Batman.
Was it?
Yeah, there was a scientist that injected himself with, like, bat
jizz
or something and became a bat.
Of course.
He was kind of a good guy, but also, like, a bat, I don't know. But, like, so, A, props for there being gravediggers in the show.
I know, that's what I was going to say. It's Acadia, it's your people.
That's right. They're, so they're obviously wicked fucking, like, reliable.
That's right.
If they see anything alive, they're going to pay close attention to it.
They're like, wait, that's not dead. Let's check that out.
That's right. Look, that thing moved, and it's not a ghost. I am a little confused about how they thought that the eyes were car lights.
Yeah. Wouldn't like, they be really far apart? Oh, shit,
is that a car
apart?
Really far away? Oh, no, that's a monster right in front
right
of us.
Right in front of us. Yeah.
Well, maybe they meant, like, brake lights.
Yeah, but still if it's eyeballs, if it's eyeballs, then it would be either a car that's like 100 feet away or eyeballs that are 1 inch away. Like, it's not...
Do you want to know something that is going to be decreasingly useful, but
sure.
can make you sound smart if you see a particular kind of car?
Sure.
Okay.
If you see a car that does not have the third brake light in the back window...
Yes.
Then it was manufactured in 1985 or earlier, because the third light became law in 1986.
I did not know that. Look at that fun fact.
So if it had been in 1986 when they saw it, they wouldn't have thought it was brake lights, because they would be like...
There'd be three lights.
Unless they thought it was an old car. Oh, this is just getting murky.
It's getting real confusing. It's getting real confusing. But that's bonus knowledge we just gave you guys about the brake lights. You're welcome. So, you will not be surprised to learn that some of the information you can find about Mothman is coming from one Lauren Coleman, a, quote, cryptozoologist. I can't remember if we already talked about him before on Operation Sasquatch.
Lauren?
Lauren, yeah, Lauren.
Yeah. Do you know where Lauren's museum is?
Is it in the Pacific Northwest?
No, it's in Portland, fucking Maine.
There you go! Again, Maine, center of creepiness.
Yep.
There's a reason that Stephen King sets all his stories there.
His museum is there, and I knew it, but then I knew it even more because the other night I was watching a Bigfoot documentary.
Of course you were.
They went to Maine, and Lauren was the first person that they went to because he had all the Bigfoot skinny about Maine.
Right. So he's a famous believer in things that I don't think are real.
It's a great way to sum it up.
Technically, he is an expert on creatures that have yet to be verified scientifically.
Right. Correct.
/ are probably fake.
Right, exactly. So, after these initial couple of sightings, things get weirder. So, over about the next year or so, approximately 100 people in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, claim to have seen Mothman. So, according to Coleman, the sightings of Mothman weren't the only weird happening. There were also mutilated dogs, UFO sightings, and other things going on, whatever that means.
It was Virginia. They probably mutilated dogs all the time.
It was. Aww. That's not nice to say. It was
West Virginia, first of all.
Well, I don't know if that improves it.
It was the 60s. It was the 60s. There was weird stuff happening.
Everyone could have been on LSD.
I don't know. There's another guy involved in the telling of this story, John Keel, a parapsychologist, quote unquote, and the author of the book The Mothman Prophecies. So he went to investigate the happenings in Point Pleasant soon after the first sightings. According to Coleman, as Keel began to talk to people and gather information, he found himself getting more and more deeply involved in the events, to the extent that, quote, there were entities that communicated with John by phone. And I don't know if that's supposed to mean human beings or magical creatures. I don't know why you'd call it an entity.
Ring.
Hello, it's a leprechaun. I'd come right over, but I'm just got out of the bath.
So, Coleman says that as Keel was there analyzing events, he decided that Point Pleasant was, quote, a vortex of phenomena and couldn't really tell one from the other, and it was, quote, a scary situation for John.
Hmm.
So, John, also a believer in things I don't believe in, went to a...
Why did you even do this story? Tonight on Bullshit.
No! Listen, dude, I'm not going to change my opinion about stuff, but I'm telling you an interesting story. So just...
You're telling us a bunch of facts is what you're doing.
I am. I just said the fact that this guy believes in stuff I don't believe in. That's a fact.
Oh,
you love me so much.
Proceed.
Okay. Proceed. So,
did you know that Point Pleasant is called Point Pleasant because it's where two rivers converge?
I guess I didn't know the genesis of the name, but I know that there's a river there.
It's right on the border of West Virginia and Ohio.
Yes, I did know that. So,
which I didn't even realize bordered each other until just this moment, because whatever.
Wow. You know, I'm so, just as an aside, I'm kind of a geography nerd, and it always blows my mind when people don't know where things are. I'm like, how do you not know that? Like,
but that's not, because I think of it in terms of, oh, if I have to do this fucking puzzle of where the states are, fine. But what, it seems like there should be something in between West Virginia and Ohio.
Yeah, but West Virginia, because
it's like rebel state and boring Midwest rectangle state.
Well,
like,
there's a Mason-Dixon some line somewhere. There, like
Kentucky.
Well, it's the Mason-Dixon line, and then it's just nothing. So Ohio's right next to Pennsylvania, and West Virginia's right below Pennsylvania. So there you go.
See? Pennsylvania's between them.
No.
It is? What? Are you sure?
No.
The corner.
All
right. We'll be right back, folks.
Hold on, everybody. Do-do-do-do.
All right, go on, fine.
All right, so...
Let Jen tell the story.
I know, God, sorry. You're like a monster. So, here's just kind of... I've got a rundown of some more specific sightings of the creature for you guys to ponder.
Okay.
So, I'm going to review the first couple a little bit, just... to make sure we have all the info. So on November 12th, 1966, this is the first known sighting, there were five men in a local cemetery preparing a grave for burial. These are Acadia's people. Mm-hmm. When something that looked, according to some report, that looked like a brown human being lifted off from some nearby trees flew over their heads. The men were baffled. It did not appear to be a bird, but more like a human with wings.
Mm.
On November 15th, 1966, 3 days later, at 11:30 p.m., two young couples from Point Pleasant, Mr. and Mrs. Scarberry and Mr. and Mrs. Millette, I guess, or Milletti, I don't know, were driving through the area of old West Virginia Ordnance Works. They were looking for friends, but no one was out that night, whatever this means. We're just going to drive around in
this
area.
We're going to drive around the old
Ordnance Works
factory,
and
I guess.
Look for some friends. Okay, not shady at all.
Right.
Definitely nobody's doing drugs or anything weird, right?
No.
Everything's normal. Nothing to see here. All the twisted back roads were deserted, and a few of the houses were dark around that area. But as they pulled up alongside an old generator plant, Linda Scarberry gasped. They all looked into the darkness and saw two big bright red eyes, which were 2 inches in diameter and 6 inches apart. That is very specific.
Yeah, it is.
As the car stopped, the eyes bobbed away from the building, and they could now see that they were attached to some huge animal. They then sped away and shot through the gate. This is the car, and spun onto the exit road and headed for Route 62. Suddenly, they saw the creature again, standing on a small hill next to the road. Okay, I don't believe any of this, but that's creepy as shit.
Right.
Like, oh, there it is, standing on a small hill.
Turn around and he's there, and I'm like, ah!
Ah, yeah, no, why? As they drove past, it spread its bat-like wings and took off straight up into the air. They were apparently driving at 100 miles per hour. I find this hard to believe. And the red-eyed monster kept up with them without ever flapping its wings. Panic-stricken, they went directly to Mason County Courthouse, charged into the sheriff's office, and reported their unbelievable encounter. So we know that happened. Like, we know they showed up at the courthouse all freaked out.
Right.
Flipping
well,
out about seeing a monster.
Back then, I think all cars went 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was just normal. Just
yeah,
normal
it was
driving.
Just, well, how fast are they supposed to go?
Let's just make it go 100. That'll be great. On November 16th, the next day, Mr. and Mrs. Wamsley, Mrs. Bennett, and her baby daughter were on their way to visit the Thomases, who lived in a bungalow back up behind the ordnance works. What is going on? Why is everybody hanging out in this deserted war factory, whatever this is? This is strange.
Place to be, apparently.
I think if my knowledge serves me correctly, I think what it was like a fort where they used to store all sorts of guns and bombs and stuff, and now it was probably a good place to like drink and finger bang.
Okay, but they're saying that they were gonna visit people who lived back there. Maybe there was some housing too. I don't know. It just sounds creepy.
Well, they said earlier that there were some of the houses that were dark,
so I guess there's housing around there. It just sounds
creepy. Maybe old Chuck just lived in the bomb place.
Maybe he did.
And he always had weed.
That sounds right. So when they arrived, they only found three of the Thomas children at home. After exchanging a few words, they headed back to their car. Suddenly, a figure moved in the darkness behind them. It seemed to be lying down, and then it rose slowly from the ground. The creature was gray and big, bigger than a man, with terrible glowing red eyes. Mrs. Bennett let out a cry. She was so horrified that she dropped her small baby.
Oh my gosh!
Mothman is making people drop babies? Jeez!
Better than throwing it up in the air. Like, whoa!
That's true. The child started to cry, but the mother was paralyzed and unable to move. She stood hypnotized by the blazing red eyes on top of the towering, apparently headless, creature. This is a frequent report, that it's just like a body with wings and eyeballs, no head.
Where were the eyeballs attached to?
They were like in the where like the chest would be. It didn't have like a neck and a
head. So like he was like scrunching himself up like he didn't have a neck.
I mean, kind of a little
like
more like
collarbones.
Yeah, kind of a little more like a bat than a bird, I guess. But again, it's Mothman because we don't want to steal Batman's thunder. Right. Its wings slowly unfolded behind its back. Mr. Wemsley grabbed the woman and her child, and they all ran back into the house and bolted the door. There was a sound on the porch, and the two red eyes peered in through the window. Mr. Wemsley called the police, but by the time they arrived, the monster had vanished.
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
I don't think people would... I don't think the woman dropped her baby and went, oh shit, I need a cover story.
Right, it's like, we were out for a picnic or whatever in the ordnance works or something, and then we just decided to say that there was a monster because we dropped our baby. It seems like a lot.
Play football with the baby and then spike it and then go, oh, well, we need to explain this.
Yeah,
so
it seems like a lot.
It whenever there's a bunch of eyewitnesses about something and they all and this kind of sprang up organically. It's not like the Greys where, you know, somebody described what the Greys look like and now everybody describes aliens the same way that, you know.
Right.
So either that's just what they look like or that's what everybody figures they look like.
Right.
In this instance, if you get a cluster of people explaining the same thing or close enough to make it like reasonable.
Right. Like some people say brown, some people say gray, but it's not like they don't all say the exact same thing.
Yeah, but no one's going to think, like if a bunch of people saw a moose walk through the middle of downtown and nobody saw it close and nobody knew exactly, like it was, I don't know, someplace
nobody
where a moose,
knew what a moose
like,
was.
Like Florida. If a moose walked through someplace in Florida, you know, a bunch of people would describe it. They'd probably, a bunch of it would get it wrong, but there wouldn't be one guy that said, nah, it was a cat. Like, they'd all be like roughly
be
in the same kind of like ballpark.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what these people seem to be like.
Right. That's true.
Yep.
So, there's a couple more. So, on November 17th, which is just one more day after the drop in the baby incident, a 17-year-old boy was driving down Route 7 near Cheshire, Ohio, I don't know how you say it, when a huge bird, quote-unquote, suddenly dove at his car and pursued him for a mile or so.
Jeez.
And then I've got another one. There's no particular date on it, unfortunately, but I assume it's around the same time. An elderly businessman in Point Pleasant found Mothman standing on his front lawn.
Oh, jeez!
He steps
taking a whiz.
Hey!
He stepped outside to see why his dog was barking and confronted a 6 or 7 foot tall gray apparition with flaming red eyes. He stood transfixed for several minutes, unaware of the passage of time. Suddenly, the creature flew off and he staggered back into his house. He was so pale and shaken that his wife thought he was having a heart attack.
Yikes.
So, you don't know? What do you think, Acadia?
I think that these people, the idea and one of the stories that I'm researching right now kind of falls into that same category. It's easy to say when there's something that you can't prove that, especially when there's multiple eyewitnesses that aren't connected, that, oh, they made it up. You know, they were all making it up. The thing that I've never, in any of these cases, I've never heard anybody fucking crack open the, oh yeah, no, we, a bunch of people who didn't know each other, all made this thing up for a funny joke. We had like a secret meeting, even though we had never met, and yeah. said, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And I don't, and I mean, yeah, there wasn't like as many things to do in the 60s, just because there weren't as many rectangles to watch stuff on.
Right.
But people still filled their lives with activities, I guess, walking around and talking to people. So I don't think people were so bored that they wanted to, like, fuck with the cops. Because, like,
right.
who would go to the cops? I'll put it this way.
Okay, wait, you broke up a
generally,
little.
Generally, I don't.
Wait. You broke up a little. Start over. Who would go to the cops?
Generally, I think. That people's first idea would not be, let's go to the police and make up a big lie because it would be wicked funny.
Right.
Like, I think you've got to be way past comfortable with the rest of your shit before you go, wow, man, I need some kicks. What am I going to do? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Call in a bomb threat? Nah, we did that last week. Let's lie to the cops about a monster. Like, right. I'm not saying that proves anything, obviously, but it no one's ever, I've never seen one of these cases where somebody has figured out that, yes, there was collusion and everybody in the fucking town or whatever it was had agreed ahead of time that they were all going to make up some bullshit just to, like, take the piss out of the cops.
Right.
So that's my defense of
something.
It's impossible to just say, well, no, that doesn't exist, so therefore they all lied or made it up.
Well, yeah, and the other thing for me is that they all describe it as something that's like 6 or 7 feet tall. So right. you can't, like, there are no owls that are 6 or 7 feet tall. There are no, like, birds of prey, you know, like...
It could have been like 10 owls in an overcoat times 5 meters.
Nice. It could have been.
That's what it was.
We cracked the case, guys.
How old are you, sir? Hootie hoo years old.
Oh, Lord. I swear. Well, actually, would you like to know what a scientist said about it?
Yes.
Okay. So,
unanimous.
First of all, there's a whole bunch more similar sightings. I didn't think we needed to read them all. But wildlife biologist Dr. Robert L. Smith at West Virginia University told reporters at the time that the descriptions and sightings all fit that of a sandhill crane, a large American crane almost as high as a man with a 7-foot wingspan featuring circles of reddish coloring around the eyes. And the bird may have wandered out of its migration route. This particular crane was unrecognized at first because it was not native to this region.
Okay, I've seen sandhill cranes, and they don't have red circles around their eyes. They have a red, like, yarmulke on their head.
We're gonna put a picture in the post for everyone.
And
reference.
Also, I don't see how you could mistake a sandhill crane.
Yeah, that part is a
that
bit.
That would have to be the biggest man you've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of it now. It doesn't seem it doesn't seem.
I mean, it's got a neck that you could literally put your fingers around.
Yeah, that's the main problem I have with that. That part of it is like, well, but it's supposed to have no head. How would it have like a giant swan neck and nobody would know? I mean, maybe if it had it, you know, when they do that like S shape with their neck. But I don't know. I mean, the other thing we have to remember is that people's brains just do crazy things when they can't, when their eyes can't explain what they're seeing.
Yeah, this is true.
But if
remember the toddlers that thought that they were raped by robots and ate frogs or something on an airplane. Remember that? I mean, that was from episode Repressed Memories, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah, but see,
I agree,
but I don't think there's a kind of goddamn bird. Like, everybody knows that, okay, there's ostrich on one side, there's hummingbird on the other side, and in the middle of that, there's fucking penguin, and everybody knows, well, if it doesn't have any arms, and it has two legs and wings, it's a bird. Nobody thinks...
Oh, it might be some kind of man.
They would all have said, no, it's definitely some kind of bird.
Right.
And that lady with the muscular man legs,
that's the best one. Like, his legs were exactly like a man's legs. Okay.
Oh, when the youngins run in their track.
Stop it.
And their thigh muscles are all flexy. Oh, it doesn't look like a bird at all.
Jesus. Well, that was horrifying.
You want to know?
I'm uncomfortable too.
Aside,
yes.
When I was in high school, a friend of mine, like my high school was really, really good at indoor track, like super good, like indoor track and cross country. We won the state championship like 15 years in a row, whatever. Like that, it was crazy. Like the coach was in faces in the crowd because he was the best track coach ever. Later on, we found out that he was molesting many of the kids on the team.
God.
But the funny part is about that was that we all kind of joked about it at the time, like that we assumed something was going on.
That's
but it, you know what I mean? But anyway, unrelated to the molesting. So this
unrelated to the kid. Molesting.
On the track team, he got his picture in the paper because he was just booking it around the corner in the expo where we ran.
Yep.
Well, they ran. I didn't fucking run. I'm more of a stand and fight guy. I don't run. So anyway, he got his picture in the paper and it was great. You know, he was super excited because why wouldn't you be and everything like that until he figured out that his jock broke and all his junk was hanging out the side of his shorts.
Oh my God!
And it was like grainy newspaper, like they just, oh, that's a great shot. Let's put that in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Your life would be over.
That's the best. I know. If that happened now, first of all, it would be on video. Second of all, 50 people would have the video. And third of all, it would be like high def. Yeah, there'd be like a slow motion.
It probably wouldn't have made the paper. Like,
No, not at all. But it would be all over YouTube. And it would be like in slow motion. It would be on like Tosh.0. It would be everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that would be it for that guy. That would be the guy with the junk hanging out at the track meet.
Basically, he can't even go, oh, well, I'm glad we didn't have that stuff in my day, because that might have actually been better than being in the paper.
Right! Now you're in the paper.
Because back then, the only thing to read was the paper.
So everybody saw it.
And all your neighbors and everybody your mom went to church with read it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Oh my God. Sorry about
God
that.
God love you, buddy. So, anyway, his legs are muscular, too. Just,
just like Mothman.
Just to tie it all up.
And I think where this scientist went wrong was, and this is where a lot of, especially the ghost debunkers go wrong.
Yep.
If they can figure out a way that the phenomenon can be duplicated, they kind of assume that their work is done. Like, if they say, oh, no, well, if you drop a coconut out of a hot air balloon at an altitude of 450 feet, and it hits the chimney and rattles for 15 seconds before it hits this pot that's strategically placed, you make the exact same noise they say the ghost made. So, obviously, it's fucking fake.
Obviously, that's what happened.
And so,
it's like the thing that you can't prove a negative or something.
This guy finding a bird that is tall... and right. has red on its head.
Right.
Like, oh, well, see, obviously these dumb yokels don't realize that there's giant birds that don't belong here, but this one obviously not only got lost from where it usually lives, but likes to fuck with people and chase cars
at
100 miles an hour.
Right.
Science jerk.
Yeah, what a science jerk that guy is.
Ugh.
That guy.
I don't know what the you know, they have logical fallacies. Yes. You know, there's the this theory and that. We should, if there's not already a set, we should invent a set of debunking fallacies. Like the first one being, just because you can come up with a plausible way that somebody might have thought the same thing does not mean that your work is done.
Right.
Interesting. Interesting.
No, we should do that, and we should totally like post them on the site. Like, this is it.
That's right. This is the official.
This is what we're working with.
That's right.
Because we have so much time to do all the other stuff.
I know, right?
We're rolling in time, guys.
How'd that other guy get interns? Seriously. Never mind.
What? Who?
The fucking guy on Facebook telling him he's teaching his intern how to do fucking engineering.
I don't fucking know.
You can't get an intern. I can't even get anybody to come near the van.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. God, okay. Just an announcement to our listeners. Do not get in any vans with any men in luchador masks, okay? That is not authorized. Don't do it. Even if he says he has candy, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Even if he says he's got, like, a cool movie he wants to show you or something.
Oh!
Come here, and I want to see how muscular your legs are.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, God damn it. All right, so to continue, we're going to talk about the bridge now. So I'm going to play the bridge clip again because it was our little opener. So here we go. Listen up.
On December the 15th, 1967, the bridge fell in less than 1 minute, with the loss of 46 lives. A 20-year-old eyewitness at the time was Charlene Wood.
I was actually on the bridge when it fell that night. I was going home from work, and a trembling and of the bridge and a noise that I couldn't even describe what the noise was like. But I realized that maybe something had hit the bridge, and I decided I wasn't going to cross it, so I threw the car in reverse, and as I was backing, the car stalled on me, but it kept going. And when I was able to get it stopped, the bridge had fell in front of me, and my wheels was on the ledge here.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is fucking crazy, right? Can you imagine barely backing your stalled car off a bridge
and it falls right in front of you? Yeah, that person who just didn't fall off.
Right.
Yeah. I want to... Driving over a bridge is part of our social contract. Like, there are bridges that you're scared to drive over because they just seem ridiculously high and that you're just going to drive off the side of it because you're just going to become a fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm actually really scared of bridges.
But I always worry that it's going to be my fault. I don't worry that they're going to just all of a sudden there's not going to be bridge where there had previously been a bridge.
Like it's just going to fall out from under you. Plus there's the problem where, as we know, because they like to bring it up fairly often in the media, like all our infrastructure's falling apart. There's like 100,000 dangerous bridges or whatever, you know. So apparently anytime you're driving across a bridge, it might actually fall. And that would be the end of the empire. I don't want that. I don't want that either.
You know how many bridges there are in New York? It's Manhattan's an island. There's like a million of them.
I know.
And they're all like 100 years old.
Yeah.
Damn it.
There's only one in Boston. Oh, no. Only one big one. Never mind. That's a lie.
The Tobin.
Yeah, the Tobin. Then there's like 7 other ones across the Charles, but I meant...
Yeah, whatever. That's the only one that matters. Because when you drive to Boston from Portland...
Yeah.
And you start drinking in Portland...
Oh, You shouldn't do that, folks.
Well, no, not the person that's driving, but if you're in the car.
Okay. Still illegal.
Where you go to get into the city, you're right just before you get on the bridge where there's nothing on the that side of the river except like fucking oil tanks and shit like that.
Yeah, Chelsea. That's right next to me.
That's where you have to pee.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. You're doomed. Like, one time I...
I have no idea. I have no concept for this.
One time my friends and I were going to see Kiss at the Fleet Center, and
now known as once again as the Boston Garden.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I'm glad. Yeah. But so we got to that spot. We were on the bridge, and there was a ton of traffic, and we had rented a van to go, and so our friend had to pee, and he's like, I'm just gonna pee my pants. There's nothing I can do about it. So everybody was drinking 40s, so they were like, all right, well here, pee in this bottle. He starts peeing in the bottle. The kid in the way back of the van just opened up the big sliding door so that all the rest of the traffic could just see him.
Come on.
And he couldn't stop because there was nothing. I mean, what are you going to do? He was just trapped. And like all
that's
like people, even whole families of people were laughing at him.
That's. Yeah. That's not really okay. all right.
But they were all humans. They weren't Mothmen.
Okay. Well, you know, there's okay then. So, just a little information on the bridge. So, the Silver Bridge was an I-bar chain suspension bridge. It was built in 1928, and it was named for the color of its aluminum paint. The bridge carried U.S. Route 35 over the Ohio River, connecting Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and Gallipolis, Ohio, I guess. Gallipolis? I don't know how you weirdos in Ohio say that. On December 15th, 1967, the Silver Bridge collapsed while it was full of rush hour traffic, resulting in the deaths of 46 people. Two of the victims were never found. Investigation of the wreckage pointed to the cause of the collapse being the failure of a single eye bar in a suspension chain due to a small defect of 0.1 inch depth. Analysis showed that the bridge was carrying much heavier loads than it had originally been designed for and had been poorly maintained. Every road and bridge in America.
Yeah, because everyone's so fat now.
No, it's because of the weight of the cars. So actually, that's the very next thing.
Right, but if we have heavy cars filled with fatter people.
It's not the people, though.
All those bridges were built when cars were, I don't know, people were skinnier.
I'm about to tell you about the cars. I'm about to tell you. At the time of this bridge's construction, which was in the 20s, a typical family automobile was the model Ford, the Ford Model T, okay, with a weight of about 1,500 pounds. The maximum permitted truck gross weight was 20,000 pounds. By the time of the collapse, a typical family automobile weighed 4,000 pounds, so almost three times as much, and the large truck limit was 60,000 pounds, which is three times as much. Bumper-to-bumper traffic jams on the bridge were also much more common, occurring several times a day, 5 days a week, thus causing much more stress to the bridge elements. The bridge failure was due to a defect in a single link on the north of the Ohio subsidiary chain, whatever that means to bridge people, the first link below the top of the Ohio Tower. A small crack was formed through fretting wear at the bearing, which is a specific kind of wear, and grew through internal corrosion, a problem known as stress corrosion cracking. The crack was only about 1/10 of an inch, as I said before, when it went critical, and it broke in a brittle fashion. Growth of the crack was probably exacerbated by residual stress in the eye bar created during manufacture. The bridge and the people on it when it collapsed were victims of insufficient redundancy. So the problem is once that thing broke, the whole fucking thing just failed.
There was no stopgap. Right.
So the bridge was overloaded, it hadn't been properly maintained, and there was no backup. There was like one link goes and the whole fucking thing falls apart. So maybe bridges from the 20s, not the safest.
Well, it would have been fine if the Mothman hadn't been nibbling on that pee.
Right? So what about the Mothman? So here is an interesting fact. there was a reporter, Mary Hyre, H-Y-R-E, who helped John Keel, which you remember was a parapsychologist, so whatever. I'm not sure how much of a reporter she was. She actually had a recurring dream before the collapse of the bridge of Christmas packages floating in the Ohio River. And that actually happened when the bridge collapsed because people had presents in their cars because it was almost Christmas.
I hope so, the two people that they didn't find faked their deaths and moved somewhere else and started over.
Why do you hope that? Just because?
Because then they wouldn't be dead.
I thought this was going to be related to what I was saying. You just came out of, you just came.
Yeah, it's been bugging me ever since you said that.
So I think this is the only, this is the only thing that really creeps me out about it, that this person had dreams about presence floating in the river. And then that actually happened. And like, why would that be a dream? Nobody knew the bridge was going to fall apart. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you have that dream? Hi, puppy. So, the question is, was the Mothman attempting to warn the residents of Point Pleasant about the bridge collapse, or did he cause the disaster? Acadia, do you think he was chewing on the chain? Or was he there to warn people in a very ineffectual manner?
I want to think that he was chewing on the chain.
Of course you do.
Because here's so I'm going with the there was a winged
beast,
red-eyed, no-headed man who sort of looked like the super. Remember in the Star Wars prequels, there were the Rider Rider droids, but then there were the Big Daddy ones that like didn't have. Okay, so it was that, but with wings.
Yes.
I'm not prepared to say that it was like super intelligent and also like wired into the psyche of people and the future. So if it's a, if it's just a fucked up monster thing, then it might have just been a weird coincidence that people then backfilled and said, oh, well, you know, such and such a time after this thing happened, something bad happened. But I'm sure that something good happened to somebody else, too, and they didn't blame the Mothman for that.
For instance, the woman who didn't die because she backed up.
Yeah. Right? Maybe his whole plan was to save her.
Save that lady somehow.
Her great-grandchild is going to cure cancer or some shit like that. And all the other people on the bridge were assholes. That's like, right. That's, could so, be.
Thanks, Mothman.
Yeah. Now, also, his vague, I'm going to work my way up to this by revealing myself to just randos in the woods.
Right.
Before I finally, you know, do my big reveal that's not going to actually let anybody know what's up.
Right.
If we're going to assume, for the sake of this part of the show, that there was a living creature that was not a person.
Or a bird.
And we'll just say that it was Mothman, yeah.
Yes.
Then I'm going to say it kind of falls into one of two camps. It's either on the Bigfoot side of the camp where it's a natural occurrence where, you know, oh, it's just this creature that we haven't found, you know, before.
Right.
Right.
Or it's the other side where it's a supernatural thing. It feels like everybody from the place wants to put it in the supernatural camp.
Right.
Because I don't know, and maybe the glowing eyes would be the thing that would push it over there for me. So once you get in the supernatural camp, then all bets are off. Because you can't go, well, no, it's a worm dog. You know, or something like that. Like just a weird mixture of shit that you can and that's the other piece that like whenever people think up monsters, you can't think up something that's not just a combination of stuff you already know about,
right? Like a worm dog,
yeah,
or a high school track athlete and moth with muscular legs.
You know,
Okay, so I have a theory.
Yeah. Right.
My theory, because Jen, I think you said it, like there were like UFO sightings in the area there and all kinds of other stuff that happened while this whole thing was going on.
Yes.
I think because he hasn't been seen all the time. Right?
Right. Well, here's an interesting take on that. Finish your thing and then I'll tell you something else.
So I think that the aliens that are already visiting Earth, bear with me.
Yep.
Had this creature that escaped and they were trying to catch it again.
Oh, so they were hanging around.
That's why the aliens were hanging around, because they're trying to catch this thing that got loose and they're like, oh crap, God, I'm gonna get in so much trouble.
Wow.
Well.
So they pick Mothman up at some other planet?
Yes, yeah. And he escapes.
Like like at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 1, where the guys got like
all the creatures.
Cases and the museum and stuff.
Or like Flight of the Navigator.
Yes, Flight of the Navigator.
Or Roger from American Dad.
Yes, or yes. Roger from American Dad. According to our friend Lauren Coleman, he says he doesn't think the Mothman sightings and the weird stuff in that town stopped. He thinks it continued, but people did not report it because it never got to the fever pitch of, say, Roswell. So he thinks there's still creepy stuff going on there and people just don't talk about it. So, I don't know. Or maybe the aliens picked up Mothman and took him back to their science experiments. I don't know.
No, I mean, that's...
could be
either
as well.
One is plausible to me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna accept that this is some sort of living thing that we don't know about...
Right.
Then either of those scenarios works for me.
Right. Acadia, is your official take then that you think he was a bad guy? You don't know.
No, I think that whatever he was trying to communicate failed.
I
think it was. Like, I think that there's no reason for it, because I don't think with all due respect to Lauren, I don't think if you saw a fucking big, tall, red-eyed, big daddy robot birdman from like right in front of you that could fly 100 miles an hour, I don't think you would keep it to yourself. And I also don't think that now that since everybody has like 50 phones on their person at any given time, that people would fail to film it. So I think that the Mothman was there for a while and was actually trying to communicate and just said fuck it and left.
He's like, I was trying to fucking tell you guys about this goddamn bridge and you didn't get it.
It could, morons.
We just left.
Totally be. It could totally, like, or whatever he was trying to get across, he could have just been, I need to tell them about, you know, if they go dig around where that bomb works is, they're going to find a bunch of gold or something like that.
Right.
And he's just like, unfortunately, I can't talk and my eyes glow and I can't write.
These people are like too dumb for me to telepath with or
right,
whatever.
So I can't, I don't know what
here.
To do.
Why well, wouldn't fuck, he now appear they blame... at the bridge though?
Yeah, but well, because he figured, well, maybe if a bunch of people see me, then they're going to pay attention. But then he finds out that they blame him for fucking wrecking the bridge, and he's like, well, he's fuck like, you guys it. Then.
Yeah.
Maybe I so.
I could... I have
an additional interesting fact. That woman that had the dreams about the presence?
Yeah.
Another 13 months after the bridge collapse. By the way, the bridge collapse happened 13 months after the first sighting. So, this is another 13 months. She was mysteriously dead after a 4-week illness at the age of 54.
Weird, and they don't know what she died from?
According to what I found, no. Maybe they do. Nobody dies of nothing, but
right.
Apparently it was mysterious. Yeah, maybe since she was the only one who was getting these dreams, maybe it broke her body somehow.
Mm. Or maybe she was just yapping too much, and the person that was actually making the bridges collapse and somehow
was like, shut up, Mary.
Yeah, just shut up about your dreams. You didn't tell them about the one where you fucked Rock Hudson. You didn't blab that one to everybody, did you, Mary?
Oh my God. You're ridiculous. She died in 68 or 69.
I like how nobody believes the Mothman people, but everybody believes Dreamy Mary.
That's right.
Like, yeah. Unquestionably, well, obviously, who would lie about a dream they had?
Well, no, but I think the thing is she talked about the dreams before it happened. It's not like after it was over, she was like, oh, yeah. I dreamed about this exact
thing. I
mean,
you would have to be taken seriously.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Well,
none of my dreams are good like that.
Oh, no. Mine are always like some combination of like something that happened that day and just some kind of utter nonsense.
No, I have great adventure dreams. Do you? Because I take Zoloft, and one of the side effects is vivid dreams.
There you go.
So, I don't mind going to bed, because
you have cool adventures.
I'm
going to
go on epic adventures in my sleep.
That's pretty cool, actually. Man.
The only drawback was, like, the other night, I dreamed that this consultant that I used to work with, who is, you know, in his late 50s and in poor health and can barely walk, I dreamt that he died.
Oh, no.
And, like, I went to visit his house.
Yep.
And his cousin was there keeping the house and was like, no, he died. And I was like, what? And I was, like, sad in the dream. Like, I was upset.
Aw.
It's very weird.
But he didn't really die, I assume?
Or you don't think so.
Oh, Jesus.
Yet. But if he dies now, we know who to blame.
I know.
Right.
Christy and her magic dreams.
Ugh.
Why don't you fucking dream about a bunch of people giving us 5-star reviews on iTunes then?
Yeah, and sending us money.
But it doesn't work.
Oh, damn it.
Damn it.
So, as a little last little end point, the town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, has a statue and a festival dedicated to the Mothman.
Oh, jeez.
So, maybe you want to check that out sometime, people listening to this. I don't know.
How far away is that from me? Hold on.
It's almost in Ohio, but since you don't know where Ohio is, I can't help you.
It's an hour.
Ohio is going
to
be
like... Yeah, but I have to drive through West Virginia to get to New York from North Carolina.
It's
going to
be like a 12... No, it's nowhere... You're dumb. It's so far west of you.
Yeah, I know it's west.
But it doesn't matter that you drive from
I'm trying to help.
I know.
What if
you're
we had
nonsense.
On the scene reporting? What if I interviewed somebody on the street?
Well, you could go ahead and do that. That would be
fantastic. As a follow-up episode. You don't know.
I'm just saying it's not going to be on the way to anything for you. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Its own special trip.
Okay.
I mean, because who wouldn't want to go to a town that is so desperate for people to come there that they have to build a statue to a fictional... It's 9 hours and 11 minutes.
Jeez.
It's quite a hike there.
No, wait a minute.
By the way, the statue's pretty creepy, FYI. I'm going to send it to you guys. Or maybe you can just look it up.
It's only 5 hours. That first one was trying to send me to Point Pleasant, New Jersey, which just has a statue of a naked and embarrassed Chris Christie.
It's 5 hours from what? From North Carolina?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So, shove that up your geography butt.
Okay, but you are in New York.
Yeah, I know. I go a lot of places.
I go everywhere. I'm every place.
I gotta go to Comic-Con next month, and I don't hear anybody finding me any juicy mysteries to track down in San Diego, like a haunted fish taco.
Well, there probably are some, you fucking dope.
You know who's out there? Eva Halloween.
Good. So that's maybe you should do something
in
fun.
And of itself.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
That is spoopy.
So... I am intrigued by this Mothman story because I like the idea of people not, I guess, wavering on the story. Like,
right.
You know, the there's not some deathbed, oh no, we made it up, oh,
yeah.
Oh, right. You know, and right. They gained nothing from it. And that's the other
right.
piece.
Right.
That's the other piece of it that I would use it. If you're going to put stuff on one side or the other, the whole, well, no, all this did was make everybody make fun of me and call me a big fat liar is not something you would normally do, you know.
No, that's not a goal.
I want to be snubbed by the townsfolk and besmirch the name of my town for no benefit. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Or it was just a big bird.
Or that.
But not the kind that that guy said.
Yeah.
A 7-foot owl.
Can you imagine?
That's actually kind of horrifying. Oh, wait. I have cool owl facts to tell you. Did I already tell you cool owl facts before?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, do you do another show that we don't?
No, I'm just... I feel like I've told this story a lot, so it doesn't matter anyway. If I did, who cares? So I'm reading...
To those of you that then may already heard it, I care, but I can't do anything about it.
Well, it's just, it's going to be relevant. So, it's relevant to the idea of a 7-foot tall owl. So, I'm reading this book called Wesley the Owl, which is about a biologist who took home a baby, and a baby owl, because he had a deformed wing when she was not a resident or something. She was, like, still in school at, like, one of the UC schools in the biology department, and she like worked with wild birds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they had this baby owl that they were like, this owl won't survive in the wild. Do you want to take it home and raise it? But like, that's a major commitment. It's going to live for like 20 years. And she was like, yes, please. So she took this owl home and she raised it. So it's this whole book about his whole story. Anyway, he was a barn owl. And,
what did they call those before they were barns?
I don't know. We didn't know about them before they were barns.
Oh.
Hut owls.
So.
Wish they were inside owls.
So the barn owls, when they're full grown, they have a wingspan of about 5 feet. And they weigh about 2 pounds.
What?
Because their bones are hollow.
Oh.
But isn't that amazing? Like, I have a cat, my little weird turkey cat that licks all her fur off, is like 6 or 7 pounds. And she's like, you know, the size of my forearm. She's very small.
Yeah.
And she weighs like 6 or 7 pounds. This thing is a 5-foot wingspan. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, but they're made of mostly feathers, which are the universal symbol of things that are light.
I know, but it still has organs and like... muscles.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I just think it's cool. Anyway, so if there was a seven foot tall owl, he would probably weigh about 15 pounds.
Right. He wouldn't really be able to overpower anybody.
No, he wouldn't. No.
That's why he didn't really attack anybody. He was like trying to get up the courage by flying after the cars.
He was being all timid because if anybody just poked him, all his bones would break.
No, but they can because their wings are really strong. So like, you know, they would fly into you at full speed or something.
You know what my takeaway from that piece was?
What?
Jen?
What?
Stop reading fucking tender owl books and read more books about shit we have to do shows about.
Oh,
stop.
I have a great idea. Do you want to know what my idea is? Eat every dick on earth and die in a fire.
You know what? Every day on the train, I fucking read about Franklin. While you're reading about, I read the most lovely book in my book club at the garden, blah. Stop it. You need to read more pain.
This is the part of the show, friends, where you can just go ahead and tune out. We're done now. This is just where Acadia yells at me.
It's
patreon.com/Acadia. All right.
That's right. Done. The end.
The Mothman, here's the thing that would be the best about the Mothman.
Okay.
What if the Mothman came back? Hmm. Everybody in the town would flip the fuck out because they were trying to figure out what he was harbinging.
That's true. That's true. If all of a sudden there were a lot of Mothman things, people would be like, oh, we're fucked. What's going to happen?
Yeah, because that's
They definitely
imagine, people like, don't do that like once a week. Now, that's a joke that now that it's been established as a thing,
mm-hmm.
I would be trying to make fake Mothmen and hang them out of trees like all the goddamn time just to scare them.
Oh, nice. Real nice, by the way.
Oh, shit. I didn't study for that test. I better put a fake Mothman on the school.
The version of a bomb threat.
Yeah, so that otherwise they'll think the school will burn down because the Mothman was there.
Wow.
God, these Point Pleasant people really aren't applying themselves.
I know, right?
Ugh.
It is a weird story, though.
It is pretty weird.
It's super consistent. And the statue he has ahead.
So yeah, they fucked up the statue. His wings also look too much like moth wings. I know they called him Mothman, but I don't really think, you know.
He was right. Batman.
He was basically Batman.
Maybe he was just Batman and he caught, like, the Penguin who had been there for a while. And he was just like, because Batman's always standing up on things looking scary and ominous.
All brooding and creepy. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So it actually, every way you describe it now...
It makes like more
sense that it was Batman.
See?
Like the Riddler, you know, brought the bridge down.
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
Oh, yeah. See, now this...
That was the climax of the movie.
I can get behind this, because it was in the 60s, right?
Yep.
Who was Batman 60s. Then? Adam West.
That's right.
Now, who can never admit it? Adam West, because he just died. Rest in peace.
Ah.
Now the secret of the moth / Batman dies with him.
Wow. Ah. Amazing. What perfect timing.
Wow.
Wow.
We buttoned that one up nicely.
Nicely done us. Good job. All right. Well, yes, patreon.com/Acadia until we potentially make a separate Patreon
for the show. We're doing it this...
This week?
This week.
This broadcast?
Yeah. Okay, so during the marathon of activity that's taking place when we're done recording, that's going to be part of it, because it's going to be just for Strangeful Things so that we can buy Jen some different books.
Oh, nice. All right, so it's going to be what? Do we know the address? Patreon.com/
No, but we will by the time we post
the story.
You'll have heard this part of the show will sound stupid because you will have heard a commercial for the new Patreon at the beginning of this episode. So magic of time travel.
Yes.
I'll have figured it out before you even knew I didn't know it.
Wait, here's
dun,
a
dun, dun.
Here's a quote from Acadia.
My ideas are stupid. And so is my face.
I participated in your activity because I thought it was going to... Now, you just don't even need me to do the show.
I didn't make you record enough words, though. I need a few more.
Well,
I'll give you another list, and then I can just play whatever I want you to say.
Oh, yeah, just say these things. Why? No, it's for the show. Why would I say dumb fart brain? Just do it. Don't worry. It's a special project I'm working on.
Exactly. It is a special project.
Well, that was good because I like cryptids.
Yes, and exactly.
The Mothman, but I don't know. I might put the Mothman in the supernatural camp.
Oh, well.
I don't know.
Some people would
put... It depends on whether he's like an alien or a ghost or if he's a weirdo creature on Earth. Well,
we could say... All right, well, there's three of us, so let's vote.
Ah.
There's two choices. Mothman is in the same bucket as Bigfoot.
Yep.
Or Mothman is in the same bucket as... ghost Bigfoots that alive Bigfoots are afraid of.
What?
I think it's the second one. Except, you know.
Supernatural?
Yeah, except I don't really think it's anything, but I'm keeping my cynicism or my skepticism under control for this episode.
So you just think all those people lied?
No, I just think there's a different explanation.
I think it's the first one.
Christy thinks it's a real deal.
I think it's... Or it was really something.
Right.
So then I guess we're going to have to call this 1.5 to 1 since Scully's half-assed, oh, I have to pick something.
Well, just because it's only this one place and this one, like, period of time. So,
well, yeah, that's true. Like, so, like, if, I mean, Bigfoots, they're all over the place.
I mean, Bigfoots, you know, they've got a whole underground city is your running theory, right?
That's right. And Mothman was just one guy. So maybe he was a demon.
Maybe he went to live with the Jersey Devil.
Maybe. Mm. What about Chupacabra?
Maybe he migrated.
Maybe the Jersey Devil is a Mothman that is the opposite sex, so it doesn't have wings.
Ah, like flying ants?
Yep.
Mm. Wait, no, the Jersey Devil does have wings.
Oh. Well, then maybe the Chupacabra is the other sex.
There you go.
Sure. We'll go with
that.
They're
separated by thousands of miles.
Oh, that's sad.
But united in our dreams.
Okay. All right, folks. That's it.
All right. Thanks. That's all we have, because we could list off a bunch of more people that credibly saw the Mothman. But if you don't believe it by now, then having a bunch of other West Virginia yokels telling you that they saw a big tall thing with glowing eyes probably isn't going to really fucking swing the pendulum
for you.
Drive you
over the edge. Yeah, exactly.
But if I go to Point Pleasant, I promise to take some pictures of the statue.
Yeah.
And
the replacement bridge.
Yes. And I'm not going over that fucking bridge. I take that back. If I would have to go over the bridge to get to the town, then I will just take pictures of the bridge and not go to the town.
You don't have to. It separates West Virginia from Ohio. But once again, we're reminded you don't know geography. So...
I know, fool me once, shame on you. Collapse twice, shame on me.
Fool me twice, you can't fool me again.
Going over that bridge.
Okay, well, good work. All right,
fair enough.
Thanks, folks.
Night.
Bye-bye.